Hello, Lemon Squidgy.
Hello, Wallaroo.
I figured we'd open with something like that.
You are likely to be eaten. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seems particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torture of a match in your inventory. You are likely to be eaten by a group. If this predicament seems particularly cruel, consider whose fault it could be. Now the torture of a match in your inventory.
What's new with me is I just woke up and ate some leftovers.
Just woke up, but it's noon where I live.
Yes, well, it's not noon here.
What? One of those round earth people? Were those globists?
Yes. Okay. I've already...
Good morning, Kay.
Already just befuddled me. I don't
know. I'm a lot to deal with when people first wake up, I've been told.
Yes. I'm making tea. Here, hold on.
Okay.
Hello.
I don't have tea at the moment. I've got a cup of boring water.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I drink a lot of tea, and I was wondering, it occurred to me, am I like super caffeinated all the time? Am I super addicted? And the only way to know is like, why don't I try cutting it out for a bit and see what happens?
How's
so I cut out all caffeine and... It hasn't affected me in the least. It's like nothing. So maybe I'm not as caffeinated as I think I am.
Some time ago, more than a year ago now, I decided to cut back my caffeine. And I was just to have one caffeinated tea in the morning.
Caffeine.
Yeah, big just caffeine. My PG tips. And it was an adjustment, but it was okay. And then now sometimes in the afternoon, I'll have one.
Are you also like a coffee drinker? Do you take other sources of caffeine?
I don't like coffee. No.
Okay. Coffee has more caffeine than tea, right?
That's what I've heard. Okay. Yeah. I read an interesting book or audio book on Audible a couple of years ago about caffeine and how it's like, how it affects the brain and what, you know, what kind of drug it is. And it was very super interesting. And so I think that was part of why I decided to
take more caffeine. You're like, that sounds cool. Give me some more of that stuff.
More drugs. Give me drugs.
Yeah, more drugs. Mainline it, baby.
I had something else to ask you. I've forgotten.
Was it a thing?
Yeah.
Was it a thing with the stuff?
How's your couch?
Terrible. Still the same couch that I've been complaining about for a couple years now. I keep finding couches that look interesting. But what I really want is a super comfy couch from the 1970s. And I think that's what I'm holding out for. So I have to find that.
I think comfy is something to optimize for on a couch, not interesting. Finding interesting couches is not what
you want. Also want to, like, the aesthetics of the stuff around me matter. So I want to look at it and it should look comfy. It should look, I don't know, I live in this white void of nothing. Like I'm about to learn Kung Fu with Keanu Reeves. And I don't know, I just think I might try to 70s up my place or zhuzh it up or move or I don't know. Need some changes. Time for some changes.
Yeah. Mix it up. Mix it up.
Mix.
Speaking of mixing it up, do you want to read some mail?
Certainly.
That was the worst transition ever.
Certainly. I love it. It was perfect. Are you kidding me? Banana squizzle. It was great. What if people understand why we're saying these nicknames? We got an email. Wouter DeWall came back, wrote us, it lives, because we're back. Not that we really were away, but we take caps. And it says, in your deplorable absence, I managed to obtain a copy of Flyboy. And yes, it's good. I completely get why you like it. That is a book we talked about in, last year, an episode a long time ago, called Flyboy Action Figure Comes with Gas Mask. And I like it very much. So now there's two people who like it. Probably more than two.
Probably.
Yeah, nice. Probably. What else did we get? James O'Reilly wrote us a really cool email that said, Hi, I'm in the process of writing a murder mystery text adventure game in the spirit of Deadline and Suspect, which probably lost K right there, but whatever, we'll keep going on. While my story and puzzles are original creations, I attempt to come as close to the Infocom style of adventure. I'm also working on a rich set of feelies, which is so exciting, to include in the physical copy should the game generate enough interest to go to production. Would you be interested in playtesting the alpha pre-releases? So I asked about that, which is cool, and said, you know, that we've got some knowledge of these games, which I don't know, maybe we do, we've played a bunch. So I had thoughts on this, having produced Dorm, well, produced Made Dorm, and which had a feely edition to put out, that I ended up regretting a little bit because two of the feelies, my two favorite feelies I put in there were an enamel pin in the style of the Kansas Fest pins, because Dorm is about going to a thing like Kansas Fest, so I wanted a similar sort of thing, so I put the pin in there, and also releasing that you get a copy of the game on a little USB stick.
SD card thing.
That's shaped like a 5 1/4 inch floppy, and I did a little art for it, so it looks like a 5 1/4 inch floppy. And I love the look of those, and they're really fun. But those things are the only, you know, not flat printed feelies. Everything else is essentially just printed materials, postcards and bookmark and fold out things and the map and all. Everything else is just printed stuff. And the difference in shipping that internationally is massive. So with those two little bumpy things, sending it out counts as a parcel. It's now got to go through customs. The shipping gets really expensive. I'm going to use a padded envelope so it doesn't break, like a whole bunch of stuff. And if it wasn't for those, I'm just sending a letter. So I would strongly advise, if you're going, I want to make another game like this, and the feelies will absolutely only be printed things. They might be exciting, might be origami things, or like, I'm going to try to be really creative with the printed stuff, but it's going to be designed from day one to ship as a letter. I have subsequently started sending out copies when people ask for a copy of it, because I've got a bunch of the feelies left, but I now ask people, would you be willing to take a copy without those two things? And so far everyone says yes, and I just ship it as a letter, and then I'm happy to send, like, I've got tons of, I'll send a free version of the feelies to anybody if I can leave off those two items. So that's my major, my main reply to James would be, like, strongly consider making it so you can ship this thing as a letter versus...
I'm thinking of, like, some of the classic Infocom feelies. So, like, a full giant fold-out map or a map of the world
with
paper. What about peril-sensitive sunglasses?
They're folded paper. And the invisible... in that same... This Hitchhiker's had the invisible space fleet, hilarious, which was simply a little baggie. Yeah. Also counts as a letter. Like anything that is not going to require anything other than a regular envelope,
But a pin that says don't panic.
A pen, anything made out of not paper or plastic that's like just paper, plastic bag, I think you want to avoid. If you're creating it as an American and say, I'm going to have my American thing that I'm going to ship locally to other Americans, then it reduces your cost a ton. But I'm here in the other part of the world, the globe, as K calls it. and so dealing with like sending copies of these feelies to Australia, to all over Europe and stuff, ended up being a major hassle that I hadn't anticipated. So
interesting.
Take a tip from a kid who knows, baby.
But a floppy disk is just plastic.
Okay. Look, wallaby jelly squish.
I wrote back to this person and I thanked him for the invitation, but I was just like, look, I really, really don't like murder mysteries. I will not like your game and I don't want to test it. So
we could say a really mean review, because apparently that's what we do now, and I still feel bad about it. Give terrible negative reviews on things.
Yes. Okay, keep reading. Keep telling.
Do I have more? Is it on me? What do I got?
I'm bringing up
another one. It's hard to know, like, what's newish, what's oldish, what's, I don't know. I think that's all I got.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I've just quit my email program. There, that's all our email.
Great. Oh, great. No more emails today. I love that.
Hey, I did. Last time I read no email. This time I read two. That's a massive improvement. If you were to chart out that on the Carrington Reedy email, it is going straight up, baby. Straight up. Indeed. You're flatlined. Mm. You're going down. You read a bunch last time, and now you read nothing.
I read like three last time, and then this time.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So you're tanking, and I'm doing great. Mm. Woohoo! That's... Team Carrington, go Mutton Plum. Dundee Cake. Fruit Cup. So keep people wondering. These are nicknames.
Clearly lost his mind.
I've lost my. No, these are nicknames used in the game Violet, which we're going to talk about today. Which I just finished playing yesterday. In fact, I just played yesterday in one sitting, and completely fell in love with it. Fell in love with Violet. Everything about Violet is wonderful. Kay is a terrific person and a good friend for introducing this game into my life. That is my feeling on this game. I'm riding high. It's fantastic.
It is a great game, and I also played it. In one day, I was flying home from a thing in the Bay Area, and I played it for, say, an hour and a half on the plane, and then another hour in the bath, and that was it. I was done. And I was wondering how long it would take you, because I have played it before, definitely once, maybe twice, and I didn't remember the solutions to all of the puzzles, you know, outright, but I had an inkling of things, you know, it's right. been a few years. So, I was wondering if it was a one day finish for you.
So one day finish, but I walked away from it a couple times. Like I would get stuck. Yeah. There's one time you have to do a thing that I was resisting. I did not want to do. It involved burning a thing. And I was like, that can't be the solution. That can't possibly be the solution. I will not make that solution. It was the solution. Something to talk about after this point of fence. And I took a good 2 hour gap before I was finally, okay, I'll try that, but I'm saving beforehand and I'll come back. I emotionally resisted that. I resisted a few things. And there's a few things you have to break. And boy, it breaks your heart when you break these things from your, the game makes you suffer in a lovely, wonderful way. But I would think probably overall it was 3 or 4 hours
of
playing spread over like a 6 or 7 hour day where I'd walk away and I'd come back.
How did you play it?
I played it on Electrode on my fancy Macintosh, one of those newfangled computers, those computing devices. Nice. I didn't play it on an Australian computer, which I probably should have been.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Wallaby 2000 or something.
I played it on Frotz on my phone.
Frotz? Because you were in the bath?
Yes. Because the Apple II doesn't.
This is naked
cable doesn't reach to the
bath. Naked K bath time? Or are you a never nude? Are you in the bath with your.
I'm a mostly nude. Okay. So Violet is different, I think, from every other game that we've ever played. I think you tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, because it's called Violet.
It's called Violet, and also it's a one room game.
Oh, of course, yes, it is. Have we not played a one room game? I guess we haven't.
Not that I could think of.
And that's a thing, isn't it? Like people make games to be one. Never even occurred to me. I guess we should talk about the game. The point of this game is it's a game. If it's about anything, it's about procrastination. You play somebody who has to write a master's thesis. You've been putting it off for 2 years. You have like one sentence done. Your gal, Violet, has given you an ultimatum, but in a nice way, that she is going to leave. The ticking clock here is she has a plane ticket to go back to Australia in the morning.
Yeah, a one-way refundable
plane. Refundable, which is a great, great ticking clock. So it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And so you have committed to writing 2,000 words by tomorrow. You're going to do it every day, but you're going to show her that you've changed. You're going to stop procrastinating. You're going to write your 2,000 words. So it's you in your office as a grad student in university, just trying to execute the verb write. The point of this game is to be able to sit down and just write the word write and actually have it work. And just more and more things get thrown up in more and more ridiculous ways to stop you from writing. But that and it's just you in this room trying to get rid of distractions, whether they're the internet or a person across the hall talking too loudly or perfume or pirates and zombies outside the window or a book you're desperate to read because you got to read that one more book for your thesis. And just, it's fantastic. If you have done any post-grad work, which I have, I know this feeling. I know this feeling of like, I have to write this thing, but I don't want to write this thing. Or if I could just do a little bit more research, it would be better. Like anything to put off actually sitting down and writing.
I haven't done any post-grad work, but I have done procrastinating. And
well, sure. You wrote a novel. So, right. So you must have. How do you have a way you get past writer's block, or have you never had to? Are you just so good?
I don't believe in writer's block. I believe that if someone has writer's block, they don't have anything to say. That's all it is. And so as someone who has been a professional writer, you can't afford to have writer's block. You know, right. You have an assignment, just start to write. And if it's garbage, fix it later. That's fine. You know, that's what editing's
I've never had writer's block either, but I have suffered from procrastination. Uh-huh. Holy cow, when I've had things I should do, I have had other things now suddenly be much more appealing or whatever. So one way I often get around that is decide to do something else. But then that becomes the thing I'm procrastinating from. Well, instead of being like, oh, I'm not going to write this article. I want to watch a movie. I'll say, no, you know what? I should really clean out the cottage or clean out the
cottage.
The cottage, clean out the garage. Clean out the I should buy a cottage and then I should clean it. Clean out the garage or a cupboard. And now that's the thing I don't want to do. I don't want to give myself a task I really don't want to do. I don't want to clean the basement. I'll just write this article instead. And now I'm procrastinating from that, doing this other thing. I just got to pick something else worse and commit to it.
Yeah. I find if I can, this doesn't always work, but it works for me to say like, okay, I'm going to sit down and work on this project, the taxes, the writing, whatever it is, for 20 minutes.
Wait, taxes? Oh, no.
Yeah, 20 minutes. And I'm just committing to 20 minutes. And that's it. And sometimes after 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, I made progress. I can walk away. And sometimes I'm like, but I'm almost done with the section.
I do the same thing.
I'm in the flow and I can keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. I do the exact same thing.
It's the starting that's hard. It's for me, it's not practicing the piano. It's hard. It's literally sitting down. It's just like sitting down on the stool and, you know, opening the
piano. I do the exact same thing. And usually it's also 20 minutes. I used to say I'll do for half an hour, but that seems like a long amount of time when it's something. But if it's just, or something else, I'm going to do 14 minutes. I mean, 14 minutes, 8 seconds, and I set a timer. And just to get to, the more I do it, though, the more you get in the habit of doing a thing, the easier it is to sit down and just like do a thing. And giving myself permission for it to be bad is the biggest thing. I'm just like, no, I just have to turn on the fire hose and let's just get the machine going. And then that works for me.
So this poor person is trying to write his or her, you can actually change your gender in the game.
Yeah. Do you remember how you change it?
You type heteronormativity
off, which is great. It says,
you
are male by default. Curse you, patriarchy. I'm not changing my gender on your behalf, but you're welcome to change yours. Just type female or more stylistically heteronormativity off.
So this person's trying to write their thing and they're distracted and they have a voice in the head of the girlfriend, Violet, who's encouraging them along and saying nice thing to them and just trying to keep them on the one true path of
But Violet's not actually, it's weird. Violet is like the major voice of the game, but Violet's not actually in the game. Mm-hmm. Like she's not there. You're imagining if Violet was there watching you, what she would be saying, which is a really fun conceit.
Yes, absolutely. And some of the things, some of the distractions in the game are self-made distractions, like the internet's there, so I'm going to check blogs and I'm going to whatever. I mean, that's a thing we're all familiar with. And some of them are external things, like the ex-girlfriend's out in the hallway trying to be loud enough that she distracts you.
Right.
So.
And you have to deal with these things, sometimes in very realistic ways, like getting your computer off the internet and making it so that you can't get it back on the internet. And sometimes in weird or disgusting ways, where it's like, really, is that my solution? Some of the solutions to these things are way outside what one would normally do in real life. This is a real life game. There's no magic or anything in it. But some of your solutions are creative, disgusting, like they're just, it's strange. The game goes to some strange places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I liked. The game had me at about, first thing I typed, you enter the game, opening line says, calm down, all you have to do is write 1,000 words and everything will be fine. You have all day, except it's already noon. And then it talks about how you can, if you're new to the gaming or new to this game or whatever, you can try hints and about. So I typed about and it says, I get sloshed at a dinner party and tell the story, and a few months later, I receive an email from a man I don't remember announcing that I'm a game. I suppose I should be flattered, or perhaps you should be flattered. You are the one who gets to pretend to be my boyfriend. We proceed by you typing what you want to do. Don't get cute. Type a verb or verb and noun, or maybe a verb noun, preposition noun. The following examples of things you can do, you know, write, examine desk, etc. I'll report what happens, and we go from there. You can probably trip me up if you try to be an arse about it, but what's the fun of that? And then down to the bottom, after a few examples of things, it says, finally, you know, you're male by default. You can change your anonymity. I wish you luck, but you don't need luck. You just need to write. Virtually yours, Violet. And just like the way Violet speaks, it's so loving and interesting and kind and smart. And it just makes you completely fall in love with this person. Everybody wants a partner like Violet, and who's supportive, yeah, but also kind of fed up with your nonsense and knows you well enough to know your nonsense. That's love. Somebody knows the crap that's inside you. And just right away, I was like, this is a great character that I want to spend time with. So yeah, just had me immediately. Mm-hmm. Plus the nicknames. Love the nicknames. Who doesn't want to be called Laura Keat or Vegemite?
Yeah, she has a whole litany of little
banana
things.
Banana squizzle. Come on, banana squizzle, you can do this.
I don't want to spoil this game because I want everybody to play this game.
Yes, so you told me to do that. You told me to go in and read nothing about it, and I'm really glad I did. We've already told our listeners much more than I knew. I knew nothing about this game, and I was delighted to go in as blind as possible. It is lovely to know nothing about this game. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So stop listening and go play.
Well, we could say things about the game that are not in the game. It won awards. This is a popular game. What have I got in my... So it is currently ranked 13th place on the Interactive Fiction Top 50 of all time, the current one, the 2019 edition.
That's good. Okay. I like that.
Which has the last game we played ranked as first, Counterfeit Monkey by Emily Short. That's ranked in first place.
Really?
There are too many ties. I have problems with that list, though. There are too many ties on that list. It's like... the following 19 games are in fifth place, that kind of stuff, which is fine, but there's only like 9 positions you could be on this list because they're all so many ties. And I think if you're going to make a list, you either say these are the top 50 in alphabetical order or whatever, or these are the top 50 and we're ranking them, in which case come up with a way to rank them, make the difficult decisions and say this one's 47, this one's 48, this one's
49. Add more decimal places or something.
It's something. Just come up with a way, make them fight Highlander style, like do something. But it also, it won first place overall and the first place Miss Congeniality Awards for the 2008 Interactive Fiction Competition and the Kazizzi Awards, however it's pronounced. It won Best Game, Best Writing, Best Individual Puzzle, Best Individual NPC, and was nominated for a whole bunch of others. So immediately people played the game and loved it, and justifiably, I think.
This was, I had played this game before when I first started getting back into interactive fiction, but before we started this podcast, this is one of the ones that I played and made me go like, oh wow, you know, made me understand what interactive fiction was becoming,
right,
had become in that time, you know, since the Infocom days. And the other one, actually, I'm looking at this list, was in second place, Lost Pig. Have you ever played Lost Pig?
I have not, but I've heard about it.
It's cute.
Were you grunt, or you're like a caveman trying to get a pig or something?
Yeah,
it's kind of vaguely what I know about it.
Yeah, that's what I remember about it. That's like all I can tell you right now. But yeah.
This is very much not an Infocom game. I love this game, but it is a great example of, like you say, how modern IF went to different places. And Infocom era games could be about the real world. They didn't have to be like fantasy things or Zork things or whatever. But this just does not feel like something Infocom would have put out. It seems personal. That, like you say, it's a single room game. It's the theme of it is just, you know, try not to procrastinate and write and save your relationship. And it's just, and it's fantastic. Like, it's so interesting that somebody can use this medium in this way. Just love it. Love everything about this game. So good.
Me too. What would a one room Infocom game have been?
Well, I think they almost made one with that Lost Butterfly thing. So it's like a stripped down Zorky type thing. So
Lost Butterfly. I thought you meant the tutorial game.
Was that tutorial Lost Butterfly? Was that one or two rooms?
Catch the Butterfly.
Catch the Butterfly or something. Yeah. That was kind of it. Like a Mind Forever Voyaging or suspended is kind of one room in a sense that's, that you are actually only one room. Your robots are moving around. So
right, that's true. That's true. Okay.
But I think they were really, back then, the idea was it was a place you explore. I don't think it would have even occurred to them to do a one-room game.
Right. No, you needed to provide a world of, right. of exploration.
And so many puzzles essentially are key-based puzzles back then. You want to get to this other room. What do you have to do to unlock access, whether it's literally a key or make a bridge or whatever? And so a lot of the puzzles in an Infocom game or Infocom era game seem to be about unlocking access to more places.
Right. Yeah, true.
Whereas this is literally the opposite, shutting down distractions, like locking away access. So you no longer have access out the window. You no longer have access to the other person. No longer, you're shutting down places till the, oh, you're limiting your scope to, now I can just write. Can't get in the cabinet, can't get at the book, can't look outside, have disgusting things in my ears, a weird thing on my forehead. Spoilers, we'll talk about all this stuff.
Right.
Anyway, I loved it. Short game, but I loved it.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Me too. Yeah, I don't want to say too much more because I want people to play this game. It would, I think, be a good, I mean, it's a game everyone should play. I think it might be a good first game. It was one of the first games I had played when I was coming
back. But you
back
had played, so that would be before this podcast. So it's before you went and tackled all the Infocom games.
Right.
But you had played Interactive yeah. Fiction before.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I
also
think
still think it would be a first. It's got hints, though. I never used one. And it's not crazy difficult. Right. So, yes, this could absolutely be somebody's first game. And it's a low obligation. You sit down to play Zork as your first game. You better have nothing to do for 200 hours. Whereas right. this is, you could do this on a lazy Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if you have something else important you have to do. You could use this game to procrastinate from that. And it'd be thematically appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did you learn any words in the game?
I did not.
I did.
Really?
Turnabout, baby. The globe wow. turns. Globe in quotes.
Yes, I've finally learned all the words.
There's tater tots or a tater tot in the game, but it's referred to as a potato gem.
Yes.
And I'd never heard potato gem before, so that was new. And numbat, which is a small insect-eating marsupial in... Because they open a place at the end and to do stainless steel numbat. So I'm like, what the heck's a numbat? Does not look like a wombat, even though it has bat in its name.
Look it up now. Hold on. N-U-M-B-A-T?
Yep.
Numbat. You're a numbat.
You're a numbat. So is it like numbat or numbat? It's an at that is numb. I had
it's
never
probably,
heard of
it. It's probably pronounced like Noomba or something.
Noomba.
It's cute.
Yeah.
We got a lizard yesterday.
Wait, you now have a lizard in your house? Like you guys yes. have a pet lizard?
Yes. My
Who
my
made
kid,
that decision?
My kid has been angling for a lizard for quite a while. And my wife and I have had a lizard before many years ago. We had a collar.
So it runs lizard. In the family. You're a lizard people.
I guess.
You're
well,
a lizard people.
I feel like I'm among lizard people. Anyway, so the kid wanted
guess
a
you live in America.
The kid wanted a lizard, and mom was like fine with it, you know. And I was just like, I'm not anti-lizard, but it was like, do we really need another pet? How many pets
do you have now? How many pets are in the household?
How involved do I have to be with this lizard? We have two dogs. Two cats, two turtles, and now a lizard.
Okay, wouldn't a lizard be more along the lines of turtle upkeep versus dog? Like, dogs are a lot of work.
Dogs are a lot of work, and I'm in charge of most of that.
Was that the worry, that you'd be in charge of the lizard?
I was kind of like, I'm not going to be in charge of the lizard. The turtles are, my wife does majority of the turtle upkeep, but they
training them to use their kung fu skills and stuff. Yeah, okay.
Right. Feeding them pizza.
Right. I understand how to keep a turtle.
But they hibernate for half the year.
Oh, I didn't. Wait, turtles
live outside
hibernate?
And they dig down and they.
I did not know that. So really, so you said you'll take care of them 6 months a year. Are you paying that 6 months? I got them.
Take the hibernation.
If they're inside your house, do they still hibernate?
The turtles?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, so you have to keep, so really, if you just chucked them outside for 6 months a year, they would just, it's sleepy time, you chuck them out a window, and then you don't have to take care of them?
Right, well, they live in a pen. They're not able to be free because of...
You don't have free-range turtles?
No, they're not free-range turtles. So anyway, now we have this lizard. The name is probably, you know, we'll see if it sticks. You got to see if the name, you know, that...
If it answers?
If it answers. You have to see if it's the right name. But the name that I think we're going for is Romeo.
Okay. How do you have a Romeo and only have one?
He's a lone Leo. Oh.
Okay. We're not going to have a Juliet? A Mercutio?
For now, we're Mercutio. And
does he look really like he can't act? Is he like, oh, I want to do something, but I can't? It's like you look at him, is that why he's called Romeo? You're like, oh, I'm so fraught with indecision.
I didn't name him. I don't know.
Okay, got it. Okay,
it's just.
So now you have a lizard in your house, and the lizard is named Romeo.
It's a crested gecko.
Keeps trying to sell you insurance. You're like, God. So annoying.
It's more like the Randall, the lizard from is it Monsters Inc.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, yeah. He looks more like that than trying to sell me insurance. So anyway, I don't know how I got onto this, but there's a lizard in my house now. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, that's all you're saying about that. Got it. That's a lot. That's quite the menagerie that you have.
Yeah.
So you have more animals than people in your household.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, if they decided to rise up against us, they could absolutely do that.
It's like you got a whole Planet of the Apes situation going on there, but with geckos riding turtles, riding cats, riding dogs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is your household actually supported on the back of like a giant turtle? Is that what's happening here?
Well, there's a turtle underneath that one too.
Right, okay, yes. It's turtles all the way there. Right, okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay, cool. So anyway, that's Violet. I don't know how we got on that. Oh, because of the marsupial, because of the numbat.
Numbat.
So there's a bunch of things I'd like to talk about in the game that aren't spoilers, but I'd like to leave for after the spoiler fits. Because they're just fun things. Safe. And I think people should go in as blind. Like, I don't even want to talk about the stuff that's just fun background stuff in this game, because it'd be more fun if somebody just encountered it playing the game.
Yes, absolutely. I do want to say that in addition to our normal spoiler fence disclaimer, there was years ago a podcast called Clash of the Type-Ins. I don't think they're making it anymore. Them.
When we came on the scene, them. They were afraid to podcast because we're bullies.
actually, when I this is funny, when I put it in the show notes, their last episode was 2018, and checking it just right now, they came out with a new episode 5 days ago.
Oh,
so they're back from the dead.
They're ready to party.
So anyway, this Clash of the Type-Ins podcast is. They play a text adventure game, and one person is the parser, reads the output of the text adventure, and someone else plays it.
Nice.
I don't know if this is every time, but in the Violet episodes, it's a two-parter. The person reading the game is the author of the game.
Oh wow! Cool.
Yeah. So I don't know if they always do that. Anyway, the game is all spoilers because it's a playthrough of the game. So if you have played the game, you might enjoy listening to this episode of Clash of the Type-Ins. Or if you're
that's a good name for a podcast too.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, anyway, that's good. So
that's an extra spoilery thing. But I want people to play this game. It's really one of my favorites, and I'm glad that you got
it. I agree. Oh my gosh, loved it. 10 out of 10, 20 out of 10, some number that's higher than 10 out of 10. Fantastic. Untouchably wonderful. Loved it.
So after you have played the game and completed it and felt happy, then
or sad, should, who knows?
Or sad, or felt some sort of emotion.
You have the big feels.
Or felt nothing, you monster.
You lizard.
Then you should come back and listen to the rest of this episode, which is the part that follows the spoiler fence. In this next part of the game, we are going, the next part of the podcast, we are going to spoil the game. We're going to talk about puzzles, solutions to puzzles, and we are going to make the game less fun for you if you haven't
played
it.
That'll show you.
Yeah.
For listening to our podcast. Oh, wait, we haven't picked our next game, though.
Oh, you're right.
Gotta pick that, and then we'll spoil.
Okay, you're right.
Have you ideas? Are you going to force something on us again? Are you like, I decree well, we should play Smurfs Adventures?
I have a couple of thoughts.
Ooh.
I have two thoughts. One is
we
could go back to the randomizer.
Which I'm always up for.
Which is good.
Are you in the mood for a type of thing in particular, though?
Well,
do you have moods.
I've added a new thing to my life. I'm taking a piano mastermind class.
You are so musical. It's impressive.
I'm not. That's why I'm taking this class. I've been playing piano for 16 years, and I'm just not any good. But
not as good as you want to be, or not any good. Like you can't play a note.
Well, I can play a note. I'm just
see.
But I'm not anyway. So I'm taking this class, which is going to be taking an amount of my time in practicing and
right. And
preparing lessons and stuff. So
let's play a game that takes 9,000 million hours.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
So let's play a game that takes 9,000 hours.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just impossible to
take a game that's 9,000 hours. So and sometimes the randomizer will turn up a game that anyway. So I don't know what to do because this thing's going to take months and anyway. So that's just my concern I'm putting out there. So we can go to the randomizer. But you haven't played the caveman game.
I have not played the caveman pig game. We can play number two.
Which I remember that being fun. So
we could just pick pig game as our second one. That works for me. I'll play anything. We can play old school stuff. I've been itching for something old, but if you do a Magnetic Scrolls one, it's going to be a 9 million hour series. I want to do those eventually, but that's a massive commitment. We'll do a Scott Adams game. I hear they're terrible.
Let's do Scott Adams. We've never played old school.
I have never played a Scott Adams game. I think they're the old two-word parcel word. So that's we could do an old school thing. We get pushed to do those a lot. They're probably not a big commitment.
Here, let me find. I love that.
Adventure International or something, I think they're called.
Yep, Adventure International. Scott Adams game list. I think the first one is
Lost Pig. Oh my gosh.
Adventure. Okay.
That's two words.
Well, Adventure number zero is Special Sampler, the demo. We're not playing that.
Probably not that.
Adventure one is Adventureland, 1978.
Ooh, by Scott Adams.
Scott Adams.
Okay, how hard can it be? I bet you it's going to be culture shock. We played all these Infocom games, and we played all these amazing, inventive, modern things, and now we're going to play a very early 1978 two-word parser. Oh, I'm going to be beating my head against this thing, aren't I?
That's Adventure Land 1978 involves searching for 13 lost artifacts in a fantasy setting.
Zork.
Its success led Adams to form Adventure International, which went on to publish 13 similar games in the Adventure series, each in different settings.
We're going to have to get in the right mindset and be like, take it as what it is. Like take it as a 1970s game. It's like, don't watch an early black and white movie and be upset that it's not in color, right? I'm going to have to get into the right mindset.
Right.
1978, I'm sitting down at my Apple II.
Right, you're
and get that mindset to enjoy this game
or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Get the right mindset, and I think I could like this. Or who knows? We'll see.
Great.
Ooh, I'm gonna be so judgy. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm excited for this choice. Nice.
Good. All right. So
old school. Okay.
Yeah, we'll go old school. Play it. Adventureland. Is that what you said?
Adventureland.
Adventureland. Great. Love it.
Okay. Now we are going to leap over the spoiler fence and everything we talk about Violet Fitzgerald.
Adventureland is not on the Interactive Fiction Top 50.
Top 50? Oh, it must be 52, 53. Must have just missed it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all good. So, going to get the right mindset when we play that game. But back to this game. Loved this game. I strongly, strongly encourage listeners to sit down and give the few hours it'll take to play Violet. And we are now going to spoil the game and talk about it in detail. So don't keep listening. You can always come back to the podcast. Don't keep listening now if you haven't played the game. You really should play the game. Then come back. You can always listen to the rest of the podcast then and enjoy the rest of it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Spoil. That's our spoil sense. Spoil.
Spoil. Yep.
So I, not too far into this game, I felt, I don't know if it was me personally or the avatar in the game, we collectively didn't deserve Violet. She is better than we are. Mm-hmm. This one point where you examine a trophy, and it says examine trophy. You trained for months and had to run the entire race in the rain. A chintzy little medal after all that, you deserved better. So afterwards, I took the big sign that I'd held up for you and spent 2 days folding it into a proper trophy, which during the course of this game, you unfold and destroy, because you destroy all these things, like the snow globe and stuff.
Everything that she's giving you.
Everything that she's giving you. And yet, throughout it, in your mind at least, she's forgiving you for doing it because she understands you really need to write this. But that's you saying that she forgives you as you destroy all the stuff that this person...
She makes you a stool, and she's created all sorts of little artistic things, and you end up... Yeah, a frame
wrecking
with a
all
in
of it.
And you end up destroying all of it. Which is some sort of metaphor, I think, for, you know, you have to destroy the things to save the relationship, or you're just destroying everything because.
But I thought it was interesting that the voice of Violet in the game, which is just you imagining her voice, is saying, "Oh, but I fully understand why you have to do this." But I'm like, "Ooh, does she?" Because she's wrecking
everything. That's some rationalization right there.
No, at the very end of the game, we'll get to it. But there, you realize she's been watching you the whole time on the hidden camera. So it's pretty funny.
Maybe she's not as good a person as you think she is. She's creeping on you the whole time.
Well, but just because she got to know when you're going to leave, because she's made this whole surprise birthday party for you. You do not deserve Violet at any point in this game. Are you good enough for Violet?
So the things that you're up against, the distractions. There's the internet, which it's basically is an Ethernet cable that you need to stop.
But you have to make so you can't. It's funny that you just can't throw stuff out the window. I kept thinking just throw everything out the window.
The window doesn't open.
Well, that's why it blocks you. I kept thinking such an easy solution.
Right.
You just break the window. It's just everything goes out the window. But no.
Yeah.
So you have to. What do you? You lock that in the cabinet and then stick the key on top of the bookcase and then break the stool so you can't get back on top of the bookcase. That's how I did it anyway.
Right. Yeah. That's the solution. On the way though, I thought maybe you could cut the Ethernet cable.
I couldn't do that. I tried just deleting the browser. It wouldn't let me. It said this is a older. It's very difficult to delete a browser from this era of computer.
I think the internet thing might have been the first distraction that I came across. I think that was the first one. First or the second one. But it was the last one that I actually solved.
Oh no, I solved it early on.
Oh, I found that one very difficult because I think I was distracted by wanting to cut the cable. I spent a lot of time on that. Then there's the ex-girlfriend out in the hallway who's talking loudly and also wearing a lot of perfume.
You have to block both the smell and the sound.
Looking out the window that doesn't open of your office, there's all sorts of interesting stuff happening out there. There's some sort of cosplay
zombies and pirates. And I kept wanting to look out the window. Then I realized I'm doing the thing that the game doesn't come. But I am also being distracted. So that was pretty funny. So you got to resist as the player, just spending a bunch of time looking at the pirates and zombies out the window.
Right. And then the two that I think are really the most internal facing distractions, which are a real thing, are there's a book that you want to read.
Right.
There's no books in there except for this one book
if I could just read that one more book.
Right. Yeah. And there's a pen that you feel like you need to have a pen in order to write on a computer, which doesn't make any sense. But
I also had it's stuck in the ceiling.
It ended up being stuck in the ceiling,
right?
And which actually leads to another thing because it's kind of booby trapped and it makes your clothes itchy So you've got to take off your clothes to deal with the itchy clothes, and you've got to put a clippy thing on your nose in order.
Which you get by breaking the picture, which I think this is a framed portrait of a hottie or something, or a stutter, and that's of course Violet. Which you have to destroy. So you destroy this frame that she worked on so long just to get the clip to stick on your nose.
Right. I forgot how you deal with the hearing. You
have to put something. Oh, so you've got the platypod, which we have to talk about, and then the gum. So there's gum in the waste paper basket. You take that out. You try to put it in your ears. You got to chew it first, to make it wet, and then you stuff it in your ears. That took me a while to figure out. I was like, this is gross, and that mostly cuts down, so it's not you can't hear stuff. But then you also got to play the platypod, which is just the most ridiculous thing. So you wanted like an iPod thing, so she's got you this platypod, the ultimate Australian music, and it sticks to your forehead, and you like scrunch your brow to turn it on, and you rotate your head clockwise or counterclockwise for volume or something.
And then there's like something
to eyebrows. I think you like, music you come on that gets distracting. And so like at one point it says a mechanical Aussie voice announces now playing MC Dingo straight out of Down Under. You groan because you are like every other parochial American who refuses to give Australian hip hop a proper chance. So good.
And some of the music is just too interesting and too distracting.
You have to skip it.
But then there's this the one that's not distracting. I found so funny. What's her name? The boring singer.
I can't remember because there's the audiobook, which is also too distracting, and then there's the someone with an H. What's the singer? Oh, anyway,
She is. She's a introverted person who became a singer, and all of her songs are like about how she likes to write in her journal,
right?
And how a boy looked at her one time, and how she uses the purple pen in her journal when she writes about her dreams. it's all the songs, they're so boring and like easily just easy to ignore.
So you've blocked out the voice of the X across the hall, but also the music won't distract you. So funny. Whole platypod thing is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
There's the snow globe that got made for you again, and you have to use that eventually to get the pen. You throw it at the pen.
Mm-hmm.
I threw something else at the pen first, shot the pen with.
You have to do. You shoot the tater tot at the pen using the slingshot
rubber band gun thing.
Right, yeah. And then I think it's always the first thing you shoot. You can shoot two things. There's the potato gem, and there's the inside of the snow globe.
Right, yeah.
And the first one always...
I did the potato gem first. That's what I was assuming. And they said, okay, if you could just shoot one more thing, you can hit it. Right.
Yeah. And then...
So the way it was worded made me realize, clearly it wasn't that I just shot the wrong thing. I have to start again. It was clearly, if you shoot one thing, now you've got your aim down. Do another thing. So you're going to break the snow globe.
Right, yeah. So then you get the pen by destroying the snow globe. So...
She made for you. Again, you destroy a thing.
Right. Yeah.
So funny. I like that she writes bother instead of swearing, which is great. This bothering thing, very funny. And that she does asides, there'll be an asterisk, which means it's an aside. You can then type aside. Like at one point, it says aside, actual me, of course, knows precisely. One time there's a blind. You can get up on top of the desk to try to fix the blind, and there's like a broken little plastic whatever, and then with an asterisk, and you said besides, his actual me, of course, knows what the whatever is called. I use the right term when I explain the workings of your blind to you at length on that napkin at WikiDog, but imaginary me is using whatever because you don't remember, which is so fun. Just to remind you like what's going on, which is
besides like the footnotes in Hitchhiker's Guide or something.
And they're great. Every one of them should be read, and they're very funny. Oh, love it.
Did you manage to lose the game? There's a way. Oh, there's a way to lose the game.
How?
Let's see. I think it was trying to get the pen. I moved the stool over to near the bookcase, and it's just like, be careful. The floor is wobbly. The stool is wobbly, and the floor is uneven.
Right.
You shouldn't do this. And I got up on the stool anyway and ended up falling off the stool, knocking myself out cold from standing on the stool, falling into the cactus.
And
it's just like, you're out cold in front of the cactus. I'm going home to Australia.
Bye. So you lose time. Right. Okay. Wow. No, yeah. I did not lose. I didn't think you'd be able to lose in this game, but that's interesting. I felt properly chastised when I was doing the waiting on the Platypod's got to charge. And so I plug it into charge, and I guess I should have gone and done other things. But being like a gamer, I'm like, I'll just type wait, like, well, it charges. But like, so I type wait, not to be cross, but waiting is what I've been doing for the last 2 years. I'm like, again, I have my own goals, you know, like I don't want to waste any more time. I'm like, again, and sometimes I feel like you're not even trying. I was like, oh gosh, like it's like, oh, I guess you're not supposed to just type wait in this game. So I like that. I think I found a bug, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. I never find bugs. Did you find a bug?
No.
Ooh, nope. Exciting. So you have to get, you're very tired at the beginning of the game. So you have to take energy. Inside the cabinet is a little bottle of pink energy liquid. I thought it'd be coffee, but you just, and so if you drink the pink energy liquid, you got rid of the tired thing. Easy to solve. So I opened up the cabinet, found the pink energy thing, drank it, left the bottle in the cabinet. No big deal. Because I don't need the bottle anymore. You don't need it. You're just drinking. As far as I know, you don't use the bottle again. I can't remember. Do you use the bottle again?
Yeah. When you have to pee.
Oh.
At the very end of the game, you have to pee. I peed in the bottle. How did you deal?
Oh, God. I peed in the waste paper basket. Bottle would make a lot more sense and be less disgusting. Oops.
What happens when you pee in the waste paper basket?
You just pee in the waste paper basket. It was great. It's gross.
As long as it's not one of those mesh sized ones.
Well, that's why I was thinking. I didn't think the bottle. Oh my gosh, the bottle. I was thinking it was one of those little shot bottles. I'm like, that's not going to be enough if you have to pee. One of those little tiny things, 500 energy things. Oh, so it's not a bug because it wouldn't let me put the key to the cabinet on the bookshelf because it says like you might need something in the cabinet. The only things in the cabinet were the empty bottle and the Ethernet cable. So I took the bottle out, but then I was like, oh, it's a bug. Wasn't a bug. I should have peed in the bottle. Oh, oops.
At least you just didn't pee on the floor or something, you know?
I didn't even try to do that. I kept thinking, like, if I leave the room, I'm going to lose. I kept thinking, if I go to try to go to the bathroom, it's gonna, like, it won't let me do that. I gotta pee here. And the only thing I could think that would be a container was I thought about peeing in the desk or something, or I don't know.
I just remembered, actually, I went to go back. When you finish the game, it invites you to type the word amusing.
Which I did.
To get ideas. And I actually forgot to do that. Yeah, it's a lot of amusing things. Huh. Anything that you found amusing from the amusing list?
Let's see. The final bit of the music says, my husband has sworn off the internet, and so he can't type this himself. This is in the violence. But he wanted me to tell you hello, and that even though he's sometimes wistful about not finishing the PhD, it was plainly for the best. And I think that's supposed to make you feel better about the fact, like the ending I got, which I wasn't sure if it's going to be the same ending you got. I thought we should talk about that because I don't know. For me, I wrote the pages. I rushed home naked, and there was a note on the door saying that she had left. But then I go inside and it's actually a surprise party. So I'm there just but like covering my junk with my pages. And then I quit grad school and we fly together to Australia. And it says 3 weeks later, we are holding hands in the super economy section of a flight to Australia. My brother is lending me money to open a curiosity shop. He's found you a job in a comic book shop until you decide what's next. I know it's not precisely plan A, but we're happy and unstuck. This is winning. What now? I understand if you just want to quit now in the merry glow of victory that's upon us, but you could also undo your last turn, restart, blah, 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 or view some amazing things. So that's what I got. So I ended up not finishing my PhD, but I ended up with Violet in Australia working in a comic book shop, and I thought, that's good. I'm not going to redo it.
Yeah, that's how the game ends.
Oh,
yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was like the old ending.
Yeah, I believe so, except for lying dead next to a cactus.
Right. and also it turns out that she had put that camera hidden in the top corner, so has been watching this whole time as you destroy all these things. But saw that you were really trying to write. But imagine like you're in the real world though. You're dating this person and you're watching them do this. Destroy what looks like if you're not listening to sound, just like destroying in anger everything you've ever made for them. Getting naked, peeing in a waste paper basket, if it's me, and then like rushing out naked, waving these pages. Like, do you want to go to Australia with this nut job? You don't deserve violence, I think. But it's a comedy, so whatever.
Yeah. It's a great game. And
it's funny. Oh my gosh, it's funny. I loved it. The plot goes to ridiculous places. It was small commitment, you know, a few hours. And it's great. Great game.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well chosen, you.
Thank you. I don't have anything else to say about. I'm distracted now by the Easter egg things. You can type pet name egg, and it will tell you. It will just give you one of the pet names: Budgie, Wallaroo, Dundee Cake, Vegemite,
Lorikeet,
Lorikeet,
Fruit Cup, yeah. Lemon Squidgy, yeah. Jellyfish, Banana Squizzle, and Sticky Pudding. Those are the ones I got.
Yep. Yeah. And also, apparently, you can find out. I restarted, so now I don't see it now. But you can see what's going on in the what happens out in the hallway. Did you do that one?
No, I didn't.
It was like, was it hallway egg or what's the ex girlfriend's name?
Julia.
I think Julia egg. I think is what it said to type. Julia egg. Let's see. Numbered list. Somebody's coming up the stairs. I thought you said no one ever comes on the weekends. Two voices in the hallway. Oh, I see. It's just like all of the
all the stuff the things that you can hear, right?
Okay. That you can hear. Yeah. Nice. Julia, it's not on your team.
No. This is a great game. What a fantastic achievement. Like, I get that why this is so beloved and makes the list. Although, I don't know about the list. I don't know about that list of 50 greatest games. I think I disagree with that list fundamentally. I got problems with that list.
Why? Is there anything on the list that you think shouldn't be on it? Or
no, I just think it is like when if people make a list of like the greatest rock songs of all time, and in the top 10 are a lot of songs that came out in the last 8 months. I think like children shouldn't make lists like this. You can't use lists all time. And it feels like this game, this list either underrepresents foundational games that had to come first before other things could come. Like this game was amazing, but the fact that it's like 28 places above A Mind Forever Voyaging just doesn't seem like we're weighting importance of things as much as like, hey, that was fun. I think this is a really, it's like saying this one early foundational novel that's important part of the canon of English literature is much less important than this really incredibly well-crafted short story. We're just like, this. The list seems to do a lot of those things. I think it's skewed towards modern stuff.
You may be right.
Wrong.
You may be right. But one thing I do like about this list is that they redo it every few years. So you can see how things change over time. And, you know, there's, for instance, I mean, I don't know how often they do it, but I see there's a 2011, a 2015, and a 2019 edition. 19?
Yeah.
So you can... You can, I don't know, somebody might look and go, okay, well, this used to be popular and now it's less popular. It's probably not that the game didn't get worse. It's just other things have, I don't know, it's like a popularity contest that gets.
But I just think if you're doing a thing where you're ranking, if other works of art, when you say these are the 50 greatest paintings of all time,
right?
It shouldn't be the case that if you redo it again 2 years later, it's like everything's moved on, and a whole bunch of stuff that competed in the last 2 years just happened to go all thrown up really high. I'm like, let's see if they stand the test of time first.
Okay.
Greatest of all time is supposed to be like, these rankings shouldn't change other than if new amazing things come in to get slotted above them. Otherwise, like, why is this moving around so much? I don't know. Just seems skewed towards the kids and their modern IF. Back in my day, we only needed two-word parsers, like Adventureland, which will be the greatest game we've ever played.
Maybe.
You wait and see.
Is that it?
I think that's it. I think it's all I got about Violet. I loved it though. Can't express how much. What a great choice. Holy cow, that was fun.
Good. Maybe sometime in the future we should try more one room games. See if that's our thing. Maybe that's our thing.
Is this pig thing?
It's not a one room.
Oh. But it's one pig game?
One pig.
One horse town. One pig town. So that's it.
That's it.
That's it for now then. Okay, this has been Eaten by a Gru, Eating a Pig, the Interactive Fiction Podcast. If you want, you can send us an email. Tell us about how I'm wrong about this list and all the greatest games ever written were made in the last 5 days. You can send that to gru@monsterfeed.com, or you can reach out on Mastodon. We're both at the oldbytes.space instance. Yeah. So you are Savitz at oldbytes.space, and I am Carrington at oldbytes.space. If you want to show us some love, you could give us a nice review on iTunes, etc. 5 stars is the way you tell us you love us. Mm-hmm. And the show notes as such can be found at monsterfeet.club. And thanks to our lemon squidgy, MC Frontalot, for letting us use his song as our theme tune. We appreciate it. Oh, next up is Lost Pig. We're going to find a pig.
Is it? I thought we were playing Adventureland.
Next up is Adventureland by Scott Adams, in which a pig has an adventure. Babe, a Pig in the City is next up. I don't know. Next up is Adventureland, whoops, by Scott Adams. Thanks for podcasting with me.
Thank you for podcasting with me, Garrington. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, no. You have walked into the slavering fangs of a lurking Gru.
See, I think you're procrastinating about the couch. You are
could be.
You are procrastinating about the couch. You should get a couch today.
Where? Side of the road? Just bring some bug-ridden couch. That sounds like a way to lose points in this game.
Why don't you just go to a couch store? I know you have a
couch store.
Just go to a furniture store. Go to three today.
Three couch stores.
You still got time. You have time to go to 3 furniture stores today. Look at all the couches. Go to all 3, and then pick the best couch you see today.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. What else you got going on? Nothing. You can podcast with me. You got nothing going on in your life right now.
It hurts because it's true. I don't think I want a new couch. I think I want a vintage couch. I think I want an old couch.
Okay. Do you have Craigslist in Canada?
Yes. We have things in Canada.
Okay.
We have Kijiji as well.
Go on to Craigslist. I'm saying make progress. Take 20 minutes today.
Oh, God.
Take 20 minutes.
Worst life coach ever.
Of couch.
20 minutes of couch. Got to deal with this couch situation.
Worst life coach ever. I'm putting that on my business card. If I had a business card, it would say that. Kay Savitz, worst life coach ever.
Ever.
It quotes.
Just the opening quote. Don't even bother with the close quote. Couldn't get around to it.
Have the kerning so bad. It's just like
falls off. Doesn't fit. Worst life coach return ever. Planning ahead with Kay Savitz.